Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, and God bless you, everyone. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, hallelujah, November the 13th, 2022. Now, I am the founding apostle here, Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am being joined by my beautiful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Minister Tina Brown, hallelujah, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Michelle Scott, and our Sergeant-at-Arms, Brother Marty Nichols, hallelujah. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you here this morning to our worship service, and we just pray that you will hear something on today that will bless your spirit, uplift your spirit, and bless your very soul. So at this time, we are going to now go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, just thanking you for another day you've given us to be able to come together as a family to worship, honor, and praise you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything that you do for us each and every day. We want to bless the message today. May it touch our hearts and our soul. May it give us something that will fulfill our spirit so that we will want to walk closer with you, Heavenly Father. We pray that the message will touch somebody that is not a child of God, that wants to come to you, Heavenly Father, and be a servant of you, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the messenger and the message. May it bless us all. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father God. The devil is a lie. Hallelujah. Come on.
Hear the sound of a nation worshiping.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday, we ask our beautiful mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So we want to welcome all of you that are here, that are just coming in, and we just want you to retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning again, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or far. I love you. The meditational reading this morning is entitled, Ask in Jesus' Name and Receive. We're coming from a portion of John 16, verse 23. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, do you always end your prayers with in Jesus' name? Maybe your Sunday school teacher taught you to do this, or maybe you have heard church leaders and other believers utter it at the end of their prayers. I used to say in Jesus' name very quickly, as if those were magic words that would. Then one day I heard the Lord asking me why I was doing that. The Lord wanted me to realize that whenever I pray and say in Jesus' name, I am putting my entire faith for my prayer to be answered, not in who I am or what I have done, but in the person and name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he has done at the cross. Whenever we ask God for anything in Jesus' name, Jesus says to us, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This
Amen.
Means that your prayer for healing, when you say in Jesus' name, healing comes over your sick body because it is by his stripes that you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 will tell you more about that. In your prayers for protection, when you say in Jesus' name, faith, because the blood of Jesus protects and delivers you from evil. Exodus 12:13 can expound on that more. Beloved, the good name of your family cannot save you. Your pastor's name cannot save you. Even the name of the latest medical breakthrough cannot save you. Only one name under heaven can save you, Jesus. And the good news is that his name in Hebrew, Yahshua, means salvation, healing, preservation, wholeness, wellness, provision, prosperity, safety, and deliverance for you and your family. So these days, whenever I pray, I slow down at the end of my prayer and I say, Father, I ask all this not based on what I have or have not done, but based on Jesus and his finished work at the cross. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favor on the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, Jesus assures us that whatever we ask the Father in his name, the Father will give to us. Amen.
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 Show me love every day.
Hallelujah, Jesus. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4, 6 through 8, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request remain known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We believe here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience that prayer changes things. So when we pray expecting God to not only hear our prayers, but he will also answer them. And we don't get all caught up in sounding all pompous and theological here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. No, we don't. We just want to go boldly before God's throne and stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world, knowing that even when we don't know what to pray, that God still pities every groan. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you just clear your mind, hallelujah, and prepare to stand in agreement with the mighty woman of God as she comes and leads us to God's throne of grace. Apostle Flowers, won't you please come forward?
Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We come, Lord, thanking you for your abundant, unfailing love for us. We thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you for choosing us to be your workmanship.
Yes,
Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the making and the molding of us, transforming us to be who you would have us to be. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you for your continued hand of mercy and protection upon us. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to go forth and to operate in your power and in your authority.
Yes.
We thank you today for answered prayer. We thank you for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you for all of the provisions. We thank you also for joy and peace today. We thank you for that peace that only you could bring. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And, Father God, we lift up those that are less fortunate today. We pray for the homeless. We pray, Lord, for shelter for them. We pray for food for the hungry, those that are starving, Lord. We pray that you would make a way. Hallelujah, that they would be nourished, hallelujah, and have food, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for those victims from the wars. We pray, Lord, that you will tend to them, that you will bless them, hallelujah, that you will make ways for them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you would minister to their needs today in Jesus' name. We pray for salvation across the nation, those that are not serving you, those that don't yet know you. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that they will come into the fold in the name of Jesus, that they will be blessed, hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you will put shepherds over them, Lord, hallelujah, that they will be blessed in your pastures in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you this morning. We thank you for how you have just taken care of us, Lord, even in situations, Lord, that seemed like there was no way. We thank you, hallelujah, for stepping in and blessing us, Lord. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you for when we were sick, you raised us up. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for all that you have done. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, this morning that you will heal and deliver those that are suffering, God, in the name of Jesus. We call forth miracles in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. We pray that your healing virtues will touch someone today in the name of Jesus, those that are in hospitals, those that are in their homes, hallelujah, those that are in hospice care, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, it doesn't mean that it's the end. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will raise up people, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, oh, God, that you will deliver them, that you will set them free in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, and we thank you. We thank you. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to use us, hallelujah, in your vineyard. We pray, Lord, that you will keep us strong and healthy in the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And those that we minister to on a regular basis, Lord, we pray for them, and we pray, Lord, that they will stay, hallelujah, with you, and that they will continue to learn, and that they will continue to mature in the mighty name of Jesus, that they may be also a blessing, hallelujah, to others in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we just praise you for it. We thank you for it. We pray, Lord, that you will go into the prisons and the jails and the juvenile halls, God, that you will touch, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, that you will save, hallelujah, that you will deliver, that you will use them, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the purpose, hallelujah, that you have already chosen for them, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we pray for the young people all over, Lord, we pray, hallelujah, that your message will get to them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in spite of all the things that the world has to offer them, hallelujah, oh, God. Hallelujah, allow us and others, Lord, to let them know, hallelujah, that they cannot make it without you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for safety over our young people, safety in the schools, safety, hallelujah, with our babies, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, that you will bless their parents, hallelujah, to be stronger, in the name of Jesus, to accept you, hallelujah. To live for you, God, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. We lift up those, Lord, that are being abused continually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you will change the lives of those that are harming them. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you will move these children out of harm's way, those children that are being abused by human trafficking and all of these different things of evil.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that your hand of protection will be upon them, that you will bless them. And we thank you, Lord, for answered prayer in some of these areas, hallelujah, where you have freed them. Hallelujah, where you have gone in and rescued. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we lift up Spirit of Life Ministries today. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move as you are in the name of Jesus. Bless the leader. Bless Apostle Shirlene Cook this morning. We lift up every other ministry. Hallelujah, that's present on this broadcast today. We lift up them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and we pray, Lord, hallelujah, that their ministries will continue to succeed in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we pray for all the listeners, those that are listening in this morning. Hallelujah. Those that are seeking salvation. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that somebody, hallelujah, will accept you on this day. Hallelujah. We pray for your word that is going to go forth. Hallelujah. We pray for the one that is going to share the word this morning. Hallelujah. We pray for your blessings over each hearer in the name of Jesus, that the word will be applied. Hallelujah. That the word will go forth. Hallelujah. And do what it's sent out to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was all right. Thank you, Lord.
We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
New direction. Gray Boy. D. Lawrence. Choir music. It's a Chicago thing.
Hey.
When they what? That's right, y'all. Tell them about it.
First and foremost, I'd like to give honor to God, who is my master and to my Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ, for just saving me. And to all of you, God's elect, please, if you have not already done so, retrieve your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. We are continuing on our transformational journey through the book of Acts, and today we are going to be looking at chapter 14, verses 19 through 28. The book of Acts, chapter 14, and we will be looking at verses 19 through 28. Now, if you are listening to our worship service via your computers, and you don't have a Bible, you are more than welcome to go over to BibleGateway.com. I love that website. Type in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 28. And I am going to be reading from the King James Version. Amen. The Word of God reads as follows. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace in the name of Jesus, asking, Father God, that I completely decrease so that you may have all of the increase, that you might receive all the glory, honor, and praise, so that somebody that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, Lord God, will come running to you, asking you to rescue them, asking you to become their Lord and Savior today. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that this message will truly bless your disciples all over this world. And I pray it in your holy and righteous name. Amen and glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, saints, one of the last things Jesus told his followers is found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it's a very familiar passage. It is our great commission. And Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then in Acts 1 and 8, we will see these words. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And we know that after the day of Pentecost, the disciples started doing just that. You see, they began boldly sharing the good news about Jesus and making disciples or learners of all who believe. And as the book of Acts progresses, so does the influence of the good news, because we see more and more disciples being made. And that's exactly what I came to talk to you about today. Disciples making disciples. So what does it take to make a disciple? How does a person go from not believing in Jesus at all to following him wholeheartedly? Well, the first thing we need to understand is that discipleship has a high cost, because Jesus himself said that the cost of being a disciple and making more disciples could cost us our family, our friends, our possessions, and even our life. And as we follow Paul and Barnabas in our text, we can see how committed to discipleship they were. And we can learn a lot from watching their lives unfold throughout the pages of Acts. Now, I feel like our ministry's mission statement describes pretty accurately what being a disciple of Jesus should be about. And our mission statement simply says we're experiencing God, we're developing people, and we're transforming lives. The calling scripture for this ministry is Romans 12, 1 and 2. The tag for this ministry is Be Ye Transformed. Now, I can almost literally hear someone thinking, well, that was a mouthful, Apostle. So now are you going to tell some of us what all that means? Yes, I am. The first thing I want us to look at is that we know that discipleship requires people being together with other people and all of us getting to know God better. You see, God uses transformed people to transform people. Or simply put, it takes a disciple to help make a disciple. If we want to make disciples who love and obey Jesus, then we must first become disciples who love and obey Jesus. So now I want to look at some observations that can be made about discipleship from today's text. You see, there's a price for making disciples. Verse 19 says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. You know what? Paul and Barnabas had recently ministered to the people in Pisidian, Antioch, and Iconium, and then got ousted by the Jews who rejected Jesus. Now, that wasn't enough for them once they got them ousted. No, that wasn't enough. See, these Jews decided to track them down and give them as much trouble as they possibly could in order to protect their own territory from being won over for Christ. See, this is what they were up to. See, there is a price to pay when someone chooses to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And when I say follow Jesus wholeheartedly, I'm talking about that I'm all in, all the way, all the time, wholehearted commitment to following Jesus. You see, it's about laying it all on the line in order to make a difference in the lives of others. It's about having the willingness to suffer and to face abuse from those who will reject God. Oh, yes.
Amen.
There's a price we must pay when we are true disciples of Jesus. And we need to know that some bad things happen to us because this life is just filled with pain. Jesus said in this life there will be trouble. But then he went on to tell us, but fret not, for I have overcome the world. And some bad things just happen to us, thanks to God. We just going to have to keep it real right here. They happen to us because sometimes we just get stuck on stupid. Okay? But there are other times when bad things happen to us because we are really and truly doing all that we can to reach others for Jesus. Now, someone may be asking, is it worth it? Is the price of suffering worth the reward? Well, I can and I will tell you that it is. But I'm speaking during a time and from a place where I don't have the threat of being stoned to death looming over my head. But Jesus himself said to count the cost before committing to following him. And every person would be wise to do this. Our prayer should be, Lord Jesus, please continue to show us the value of making disciples. I know we know that our lives are of high value to you. So, Lord, please help us to make helping others become disciples our highest priority. Because there's most definitely a priority of making disciples. Verse 20. Mm-hmm. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, and he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Mm-hmm. Look here. Even after being knocked out or perhaps nearly killed by rocks, you know what Paul did? Paul got right on up and continued doing exactly what God had called him to do.
Yeah.
Because making disciples was such a high priority to him that he could not be kept from doing that for very long. And we know this by what he wrote, hallelujah, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 16.
Amen.
He said, when I preach the gospel, I don't have anything to boast about. I am compelled to preach. And then he goes on and says, woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, now the Bible doesn't tell us how much time lapsed here, but it appears that they left for Derbe the next day and started sharing the good news about Jesus right away. Now, I'm just going to go out on a little limb here and venture to guess most of us, if we had just went through this experience, we would have been ready to take some sick leave while we looked into our hazard pay. But you see, Paul was on a mission, and he would not be deterred. He was doing the unstoppable work of God, and as God's vessel, he wasn't going to be stopped.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
I'm
you,
sure
Lord.
Most of us could easily excuse ourselves from living up to Paul's standards because, after all, he was the Apostle Paul. However, I think we should at least ask ourselves a simple question here. And that question is, how easily am I persuaded to abandon my mission? What would it take to keep me from doing what God wants me to do? Now, I came to tell somebody this morning, maybe nobody will ever throw stones at you, but they may launch a few very unkind words in your direction. They may threaten you, or they may want to keep on bringing up your past. But I came to ask you this morning, is that going to stop you from obeying God?
Mm-mm.
You see, a true disciple of Jesus will keep following him and doing what he has commanded until there is no breath left in them to do it with. Paul's ministry didn't end when he went to prison. No. What did Paul do? Paul started a prison ministry, thanks to God. That's what Paul did.
Thank you.
He didn't say, oh, my goodness, I am locked away in this prison. What will I to do? He said, you can lock me up. Throw away the key. I'm still going to still keep on telling people about Jesus. I'm still going to keep on calling people to salvation. Because, you see, there is a price for making disciples, and it should be our priority. But now, how do we go about doing that? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because there is definitely a pattern for making disciples. Acts 14, 21c through 23 says, when they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. So we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord, on whom they put their trust. You know, I was reading this book by Pastor Bill Hybels, and he's a pastor of a church in Chicago. And I read something that he wrote that stayed with me ever since I've read it. He stated, the local church is the hope of the world. It is through the local church that disciples are made. It is through the local church that disciples are strengthened and encouraged to remain true to the faith. It should be in the safety and the support of a healthy church family that we face the many hardships that await us.
Yes.
However, good health does not come automatically for some churches nor to some ministries. In fact, there are a lot of churches and ministries that are described as toxic because they seem to do people more harm than they do good.
Yes.
We should never have a commentary that we walked into a house of God and we walked out feeling worse than we did when we went in.
Yes.
But you need to understand that Paul and Barnabas were following something that was both cultural and spiritual when they appointed elders in each of the churches they had helped establish. Notice that word, helped establish. See, they weren't trying to take credit. This is my church. These are my. No. They appointed elders. But you see, synagogues typically had councils of elders, and it was usually 12. I wonder where they got that number from. And it because 12 were required to form a synagogue. Now, these men provided leadership and religious oversight. You see, the first century church most likely continued that same pattern. Elders were basically pastors or overseers, like a shepherd watches over and leads the flock. The Greek word for appoint actually means to approve by a show of hands in a congregational meeting. See, so as we see in this word right here, as the entire church prayed and fasted, asking God for his guidance, they essentially nominated leaders who were confirmed by the apostles. And that pattern for disciple making will always include strengthening others and encouraging them to remain true in their faith in Jesus. It also includes helping them to understand that hard times will indeed come.
Yes.
But you will make it. You can take it with the help of God and with the help of one another. We will stand. According to Paul in Ephesians 4, the purpose of church leaders, notice, I didn't say the title, the titles of church leaders. I said the purpose of church leaders is to develop people into strong disciples who will minister to others. Apostle Zayd and I was just talking about this yesterday. The word of God says in Ephesians 4:11-12, it was he who gave some to be apostles. There's a semicolon there. Here comes the gift in saint. Some to be prophets. Some to be evangelists. Some to be pastors and teachers. To prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Right.
Now, today, if you know, man has diminished God's giftings of his called and sent to titles, and they've gotten them completely backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the word apostle means called and sent. But if you look at our job description, the most important word in this, out of the some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, are the teachers. Because see, you cannot be a prophet, you cannot be an evangelist, you cannot be a pastor if you can't impart God's word to his people in order to prepare them for the work of the service so that we will all be built up.
That's right. Yes.
As you may have noticed from my mission survey statement, we believe that part of our mission here at Spirit Alive is to develop people. You see, we want people to grow and become all that God wants them to be, not what we think they ought to be.
Right.
We're not trying to create any mini-me's here. We want you to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You see, we want people to discover their God-given gifts, their God-given talents, and begin to use them to help others. And as the founding apostle here, I have committed myself to God and to the people of God that I am going to do all that I can to help you to realize your God-given potential and to become all that you can be for God. Mm-hmm. And with his help, we will see others begin to develop into strong disciples. And we too will see how the good news about Jesus transforms lives.
Amen.
But in all of that, there's also a pause in making disciples. Let's look at verses 24 through 28. Now, after going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the doors of faith to Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now, what you need to know and understand is that discipleship did not cease during this time, but there was a sense in which the disciples needed to take a breather to recuperate from the challenges and the demands of their missionary journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And missionaries still need to do that today.
Yeah.
See, all disciples need to recognize the value of the pause. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, God has built pauses into our lives for our benefit.
Yeah.
There's a reason he hides the sun for several hours. He wants us to pause and to rest up for a fresh start. That's why he says his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
He also built in a day of rest each week. Now, in the Old Testament and in Jewish culture, that day of rest was called Sabbath and most likely occurred on what we know as Saturday of each week.
Mm-hmm.
He set an example of resting on the seventh day way back in the time of creation because the Word of God says that on the seventh day he rested.
Yeah.
Jesus said the Sabbath was created for man. Man was not created for the Sabbath.
Amen.
So if we fail to recognize the value of pausing and resting from our labors, it will begin to take a toll on our physical, our emotional, and our mental health. Furthermore, it may rob us of the ability to be still and know that the Lord God is God. One idea behind taking a Sabbath is that God wants us to trust him for the strength and the ability to get all the essential tasks of this life done in the 6 days of work he has given us.
Yeah.
The seventh day, that's one out of seven, is a day that we just share with him. We just rest in him. We just take time to hang out with him and to think more about him. And beyond the weekly Sabbath, there were other Jewish holidays during which a special day of rest was called for. That tells me that days off are not only healthy, but they're ordained by God. They can help us reevaluate our lives and take a good long look at what really is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most Christians consider Sunday as their day of rest. However, if you're like us, and you're involved in giving out all day through teaching and ministering to others, then maybe you should consider a different day of rest. You see, those who labored in the Jewish temple on the Sabbath typically used the first day of the week as the day of their day of rest. Mm-hmm. And evidence from scripture and history indicate that the early Christian church kept the Sabbath as their day of rest. They attended synagogue to hear scriptures read and to hear someone talk about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Then they rested from their normal labors. It is my theory that early on, their meetings that took place on the first day of the week actually took place on a Saturday evening, which for them was the start of the next day. Mm-hmm. The church was still very Jewish, and the Jews had a gathering called a Havadalah, where family and friends got together for a celebration at the conclusion of the Sabbath day. And the purpose of this was to usher in the new week. They would thank God for his provisions and his thankfulness and his faithfulness during the previous week, and then they would ask his blessings upon the upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, just a little side note here. Some scholars believe that it was around this time, 6 p.m. on Saturday evening, that Jesus rose from the dead. You see, it was the next morning that the women and then the disciples discovered the empty tomb and then encountered the risen Lord. Now, some of the church fathers write that the Christian day for worship became Sunday in honor of the day that the Lord rose from the grave. Well, if he rose from the grave Saturday evening at 6 p.m., that was the start of the first day of the Jewish week. Later, the church moved away from anything that looked like Jewish to avoid persecution from the Romans. And because many of the Jews were so hostile to the followers of Jesus, we don't want to be even remotely thought to be associated. So instead of continuing the Jewish tradition of the Havdalah, the Christian church at some point began to meet during the morning or day of the first day of the week, probably either late in the first century or sometimes in the second. Now, my point is sharing all of this. That's just a little, you know, I like to teach and I like to dig deeper. So my point in sharing this is not to force us to return to keeping Saturday the Sabbath, but simply to point out that God's principle of rest was intended to last. Mm-hmm. We are God's people, and he wants to bless us with rest and help us to remember that he is the giver of all good things, life, material provision, and true success.
Amen.
And if we don't have reminders built into our lives that help us to remember that we need God's help, we may mess around and start thinking we're doing something. We might mess around and think that we're getting things done. And then next thing you know, we'll be using all 7 days of the week to do it. But see, God has called us to give at least 1 day a week to him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
1 day a week to forget about the computers, forget about the reports, forget about it all. And just sit and delight in him. Just sit and inquire in his temple. Just sit and soak up his goodness. Don't even have to go up there asking for anything. Just go up there and sit with your ears open and your heart open and your eyes open. You'll be surprised what you might come away with.
Yeah.
So in summary, discipleship has a price. And that price must take priority. It follows a process, but at times it will require periodic pause. God wants us to become disciples who love and obey Jesus, and then make disciples who love and obey Jesus. We've all probably heard the saying, it takes one to know one. Well, in discipleship, it takes one to help make one. The more we are committed to being all we can be in Christ, the better equipped we are to help others do the exact same thing. Remember when you truly submitted your all to the Lord? Remember how he saved you? Remember how he raised you? Remember when you were first filled with his Holy Ghost? Doesn't it make you just want to go out and tell somebody? Listen,
Amen.
We have been called to speak to and make disciples of nations. Will you obey today? Will you live your life for Christ in such a way that the lost will want to find their shelter in him? Will you speak, live, and obey the gospel so that others may truly come to know Jesus through you?
Yes.
Now, I don't know about you, but I want everybody to come out the hateful darkness of the world and learn how to walk in God's marvelous light. I want everyone to know about God's great love for us. I want everyone to be whole and healthy in Christ. I don't want to see anybody broken or wounded, because true discipleship is all about inviting others to the table, providing a feast of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then teaching them how to feed themselves so that they will be able to prepare that same meal for somebody else. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, because praise to God, there is going to come a day when all God's children are going to see him face to face. Don't you want to hear the master say, indeed, you are one of my disciples. Well done, my good and servant, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. There's a place at my table for you. You know, over the past couple of months, if you get anywhere close to the Hallmark or the Lifetime Network, you're going to see Christmas programs. Every kind of Christmas movie you can think of. And in all these programs they have, this, you know, there's a buzz around, you know, the big Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Oh, the kids are standing around and their eyes is all glistening and they're counting down, just waiting for the Christmas tree. And I remember standing there thinking, if people can get this excited about a symbol of what was born on Christmas Day, then how much more then when we rejoice, when we see our risen Lord and Savior, the tree of life himself, standing before us, hallelujah, when we're sitting at his table. I don't know about you, but I can't get wait to get there, because I'm going to be high-fiving my mama. I'm going to be high-fiving Bishop. I'm going to be high-fiving Pastor Vanessa, Apostle Zeta, and Minister Tina. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to be high-fiving my little sister, Evangelist Scott. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be high-fiving my little brother, Marty. Oh, we're going to be up there cheesing and a smiling and a shouting and a grinning and hallelujah. Just praising God. Oh, what a time we're going to have when all of God's children, when all God's disciples get together. What a time. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm coming to tell somebody today, I'm not going to be happy to just show up by myself. I'm going to try to take my whole hood with me. I'm going to try to take my whole city with me. I'm going to try to take my whole state with me. Hallelujah. Because see, when I make it, you make it. When you make it, I make it. Hallelujah. Disciples.
Amen.
Making disciples. Amen. And to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Tomorrow's not promised to us. We need to be about our Father's business.
Yes.
And in a moment, I'm going to give someone an opportunity that does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sin to rectify that. But right now, as always, I'm going to call God's prophet, God's pastor, Pastor Vanessa, to come now and seal this prayer, this message with prayer. That will be followed by my little sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott. I'm going to ask her to then come and to lead you in the invitation to salvation. Pastor Vanessa, come on in the room, beloved.
That was an awesome message, Pastor. And I just thank God today for being able to be able to hear that and all the passion that went into it. But Father God, we thank you, Lord, today for the vessel that went before you to pour into us and those who were here, even in archives, that you fill her back up. And I thank you, Lord, today, right now, in your precious name, that you strengthen her in every part of her body, because I can tell there was a lot of energy exerted. She really, really poured out. But I thank you, Lord, today, when we serve you, you never leave us empty. And I just thank you, Lord, today, for strengthening her physical body and anything else, Lord, that was depleted. And right now, Lord, I just thank you for that power of the word that was sent forth. Thank you for the impartation that went forth. Thank you, Lord, today that our understanding will be fruitful and that we can apply the word. We'll have great understanding, Lord, today as this word lays heavy on our hearts, not in a way to get in our way, Lord, but to push us forward. We thank you, Lord, today that disciples making disciples, that we become more sensitive and aware to your mission, to your plan, the things that we do individually as well as a collective effort, and that we intentionally agree with it every day of our lives. There is a lot of work to do. But I thank you, Lord, today that we take the blinders off. If any area in our life where we are being oppressed or distracted or anything, Lord, that we look at Paul's example as Apostle Cook presented and the things that he did and what he considered important and what he considered not important. So I thank you, Lord, today that we learn to prioritize and that you continue to tell us individually what this word is stamped on us today. We heard it and now we're responsible. And I thank you, Lord, today that that be not a light thing, but it not be a heavy thing to the point where we get all caught up in our own emotions.
Yes.
And that we know with you, we can do nothing. Lord, you are the one that enables us and empowers us. I thank you for the power of this word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let there be peace.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much, beautiful one. I appreciate that. Now, at this time, you may be sitting there saying, well, I really, you know, maybe you needed to hear this message this morning. Maybe, you know, you've been looking for a way out. You've been looking for shelter. Maybe you, hallelujah, need to become all that you can be. And it's real simple. We've got good news for you today here at Spirit Alive. You don't have to leave here the same way that you came. So I'm going to ask that my dear little sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, come in and have a word with you, and then she will lead you in the prayer of salvation. Good morning, beautiful one.
Thank you, and God bless. If we could all close our eyes and bow our heads, Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to invite the lost to join the family of God. If you have heard the message on today and you feel deeply in your heart and you truly want to change, because this serving the Lord is not a plaything. So if you truly in your heart want to change and turn from your sinful ways and make Jesus your Lord and Savior, say these simple words with me. Lord God, I confess all my sins and ask for your forgiveness. Father God, I confess with my mouth every sin that I have committed. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, and I believe that he rose from the grave with all power in his hand on the third day.
Sir.
I believe that you came so that we all, not just some, but that we all may have eternal life. And have our lives that we live here now on earth more abundantly. Lord, I invite you into my life and into my heart on today. I give you complete control through the Holy Spirit to dwell within me, Father God. I welcome you and I receive you. And I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for being my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, lead and guide me, Lord, and help me to do your will and learn more about your word and your way. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It's just amen.
Amen. Glory.
And we thank you for joining the family of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I can hear shackles breaking. I can hear the shackles breaking. I can hear shackles coming off. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just glorify you this morning, Lord God. We just thank you. Father God, we just come now thanking you for every new convert, every person that has rededicated themselves back to you, God. We just praise you, Father God, for their change of heart. And Father, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would not allow the enemy to steal the seeds of faith, Lord, the seeds of renewal, the seeds of reconciliation, that you would not allow the enemy to sift them as wheat. Lord God, we pray that they would come together with other like-minded true believers, Lord God, the real church, so that they might be encouraged and strengthened and taught your ways, Lord, everything that you have taught us, not just the parts we might like. And Lord God, I just praise you right now for every servant leader that is present here today. I want to thank you for every ministry represented here today. I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand with my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, and bring a word in the hope that others might receive and be able to share the word. Lord, we just thank you for this time and this season. Thank you, Lord, in your holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord has been laying some things on my heart. And if you have been following us here at Spirit Alive, then you know that I have a great burden in my heart to have the men of God speak to the men of God, because I believe that we truly need the women of God, the children of God. We need our men of God to be in their rightful place. We need them to be on point. We need them to lead the charge. Don't get it twisted. If you won't go, I will. Trust me. But we know that God has an order. And we know God's order and his plans will always prevail and will always work. So at this time, I'm going to ask Bishop Lester Carver to come forth and have a word and to pray. And then if any of you are sitting in the sanctuary this morning and you would like to have a word of praise, or you just gave your life to Christ and you just want to say hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come on into the house. So Bishop Lester, would you please, man of God, step forth and let God use you this morning.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. This morning, the thing that is on my mind for every man of God out there is to realize that you're a man of God. And to understand that we are to submit to the authority of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can walk in the fullness of our authority that we have in the earth. And one of the things that I see as we stand on the promise of being a son of God and being a servant of God's Son, Jesus Christ, is that when we submit to the authority of God's Son, Jesus Christ, we can walk in power. We can walk in purpose.
Yes.
And we can do so in a way that allows us to praise God with our confidence in God by going forth boldly. In order to do that, we have deliberately receive God's grace and God's mercy new every day, knowing that it comes from God new every day because we absolutely need it. And sometimes we just don't even know what that is. So to understand that God's grace is his unmerited favor, it's all the good things that we get from God that we don't even deserve. And then it's also God's enabling power so that everything God gives us to do, we can do it because he gives us the power to get it done. And when we submit to the authority of God's Son, Jesus Christ, then we call upon that power of the Holy Spirit within us to get the job done through that grace. But one of the things that often gets in our way is doubt, worry, fear, guilt, insecurity, feeling like you are less than. And The world has a way of doing that to you from time to time. And that's why every day, not only does God give us new grace, but he gives us new mercy. And that mercy to cover our mistakes. That mercy is to say, you know what? The punishment that you deserve, I'm going to withhold that punishment. You are not going to get beat up for every little thing that you do because I know what you're made of. And I have wrought your works from the beginning of time. So get up and keep moving and don't lay on the ground wallowing in your pity party, wasting God's time.
Come on, Bishop.
God gave you his mercy job done with the grace that he gave you so that you could walk into the favor without having to say, I don't deserve it and I'm not good enough because God said you're good enough.
Come on.
It says in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun to work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you have to know that the one who started the work in you, he is perfecting you. We might leave things undone, but thank God for his grace and mercy. He does not leave things undone. So what God started, he's going to finish. So don't let the devil talk you out of who you are in Jesus Christ. As you walk into the presence of the throne of God, receive his grace, receive his mercy, and then get to work.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your call on each and every man listening to this service this morning, God. Father, I thank you for giving each and every man the heart of mercy toward the people that he's responsible for, the heart of grace toward the people that he's responsible for, so that he can serve his family wherever he is. He can serve his wherever he is. He can serve his community and his church wherever he is. Father, I thank you for you empowering the men of God to walk in the fullness of the authority that you've given to them so that they can be the adequate covering for those women and those children that you place under their authority so that they can be protected as these men submit to the authority of your son, Jesus Christ, as your son, Jesus Christ, has submitted to your authority and obey you in all things, even unto death. Father, give us the desire and ability to be prepared to guide the ways that we're responsible for right now.
Yes.
I thank you for this. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Now, as you all know, we are coming up once again, rapidly approaching the holiday season. And we know that the holidays are, you know, they're not always happy times for everyone. So before I ask, I'm going to ask that Minister Gladys prepare to come and pray because, you know, some people might be preparing to have a Thanksgiving without their husband or their child or their someone might be suffering with a terminal illness. Someone might just be feeling alone and lost during the holidays. So I'm going to ask that Minister Gladys McGee come forth at this time and say a very special prayer for those that are hurting during the holidays.
Yeah.
And then that will be followed. If any of you are in the sanctuary and you would like to have a word, please press your one so that we can get right to that right after Minister Gladys prays. Minister McGee, please come forth, please, beloved.
Amen. Thank you very much, Apostle. Thank you for this day, Father God, Lord. We thank you, Father God, Lord. We're just lifting up families, Lord, right now, Lord. Individuals, Father God, Lord. We asking that you send them comfort, Father God, Lord. We
demand
oppression, Father God, oppression, Lord Jesus, Lord, that they may be faced with, Father God, Lord. We ask that you families, Father God, Lord, take away the hurt, Father God, Lord, that they may be faced
Father God, Lord. The compound traumas, Father God, Lord. We ask that you heal it, Father God, Lord. That you heal it, Father God, Lord, so that they can come forth, Lord, and be disciples amongst each other, Father God, Lord. That they may learn to love you more, Father God, Lord, in the situation, Father God, Lord. I ask, Lord, that they just bow out and cast their cares to you, Father God, Lord, for you and you alone can fix it, Father God, Lord. Let them know this in their hearts, Father God, Lord. We're asking, Lord, that you touch and heal that child that's out there that's suffering,
Lord God.
A loss of a parent, a loss of a loved one, Father God, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you comfort them and heal them, Father God, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you strengthen them, Father God, Lord. Lord, let them know that they can call on you no matter what the age is, Father God, Lord. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger, Father God, Lord. You should raise them up, Father God, Lord. Bless the children, Father God, Lord. Bless them mentally, physically, and financially, Father God, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will find refuge, Lord. They will find spiritual food. They will find physical food.
Enrich their spirit, Father God, Lord.
Lord, most of all, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you protect them. Send them with a family, Father God, Lord, that you help them. God, Lord, bless the man that's out there suffering that has no job, Father God, Lord.
Father God, Lord, that is in depression,
Father God, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you raise him up, Father
Lord.
God, Lord.
Thank you,
raise
Jesus.
Him up, Father God, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. What a time we have had here in the service today. We praise God for each and every one of you that joined us here, whether you joined us via Instagram, Skype, via our chat rooms, whether you joined us via your computer. We just praise God. That you are were here today. Hallelujah. I'm reading a text right now. Brother Marty, you're in the house if you want to have a word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I just wanted to make sure I give everybody an opportunity. So we just want to, I just want to thank you for all being here today. We pray that you indeed were blessed. We invite you to continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Oh, tomorrow, I want you to know that for the rest of the month, we will be doing our programs as usual, but I am a servant leader that leads by example. So during the month of December, I made an executive decision to give the servant lead to make sure I offer the servant leaders time to be with their family. Hallelujah. All right, we are going to, all right, Brother Marty figured it out. He figured it out in the name of Jesus. Yes, Brother Marty, good morning.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
We're blessed. So
I just want to say, wow, what a wonderful array of messages today. It really touched me. I mean, you know, especially when you're talking about the men of God, and that's always been it's nice to everybody gets represented, and just the whole Spirit Alive family. Thank you so much for blessing my morning and my day. That's all I wanted to say.
We love
praise
you.
Lord.
That's all we want to say. Praise the Lord, and we love you too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So again, we are so glad that you had to, you know, you spoke up for the Lord because, you know, we all together, there is power in our unity. And it doesn't matter if you came to the Lord this morning or you came to the Lord 50 years ago. Hallelujah. In God's family, we are the same. We are one. We are all working together for a common goal, and that is to stand before Jesus and to see him face to face and to live eternally with him. On tomorrow, you can join us here at, like I said, on the, during the month of December. All the servant leaders are more than welcome to go on hiatus. I know that the worship services will continue to go forth. Taking it to the streets will go forth, and Wednesday night Bible studies will continue to go forth. But I'm giving everybody else, I'm telling everybody else, go get some rest. Get refreshed. Because, see, the servant leaders here, they're faithful. They're not hit and miss servant leaders. They are on their post consistently every month at the appointed time, on time. And so I want them to be able to go and have a good time with their family and to bless their church, their local ministries, to do their personal ministries during the holidays so that they can come back in the new year on fire. Well, they on fire anyway, but they'll be even more on fire come the new year. Hallelujah. So we just want to praise God for this. I want to just thank God again for all the beautiful servant leaders that were in attendance today. Mother Mitchell, my beautiful biological mother, I love you. Sergeant at Arms on the Wall, Brother Marty Nichols, love you, beloved. Bishop Lester, Pastor Vanessa Carver, I adore you. Minister Tina, Minister Gladys, Evangelist Michelle, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And of course, my dear, in the words of my brother Sylvester Henderson, my dear friend and mother and mentor and teacher friend, Apostle Zeta, I love you all. And we just want you all to continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Have a beautiful and blessed week. And now may the sweet communion of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly until we meet again. My beautiful family, we love you. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a beautiful and blessed rest of your week, everyone. To my Spirit Alive family, I love you. Phenomenal service. God bless you.
Yes, phenomenal.
Amen. Thank you. Love you all. God bless you.
Love you all.
God bless.
God bless you, sweetie.
Long.
Have a blessed
week.
Yes.